For July, we continue to have the children be a part of the service. If you didn't grab a thing on the way in, a color, it's right outside the door. So this is a big day. We are excited about welcoming Eric into the family of God with an adult baptism. We don't get to do those very often. It was supposed to be last week, and Scott said he had perhaps the best sermon he had ever written, and it was about baptism. Clearly, though, Eric, God thought you needed to hear this sermon instead. And I am sorry, the best sermon was already taken. All right. This is also the last Sunday before our rector, Bill, and his family return. So I thought to make you a little bit more excited about Bill returning, I'd talk today about everybody's least favorite sermon topic. I'm going to talk about money. Sorry. It isn't Jesus' least favorite topic, though. He talks about money more than he talks about prayer. Before I do, though, I do want to applaud Scott. He has done an amazing job these last 3 months as priest in charge. I have a full-time job outside Redeemer, so the bulk of Bill's responsibility has landed on Scott. I'm not saying I didn't do anything, because I have. Neither of us has had a Sunday off. But I've been so impressed with how Scott has stepped up to the plate. And I think that we have all of the staff, we have an incredible staff, we have held the ship steady over the summer. But I'm sure we'll be happy to have Bill back. So be sure to tell Scott how much you appreciate his work. And then next week, enthusiastically tell Bill and Kim how excited we are to have them back, that we miss them. We're going to look today at the parable of the rich fool in our gospel reading from Luke 12. It's in the bulletin on, I don't know, 3 or 4 or 5, somewhere in there. You'll find it. The context is Jesus teaching his disciples in the midst of thousands listening in. Someone in the crowd asked Jesus, the rabbi, to intervene in a financial matter. The person assumes Jesus is able to make legal rulings because that's what rabbis were able to do at that time. He says, teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me. Now, at the time of Jesus, the practice was to give a double portion of the estate to the oldest son, and then he was responsible for making sure that there was equitable division among the rest of the family. From context, this is likely a younger son asking Jesus to make his older brother do his duty and give him a fair share of his father's estate. At first glance, that seems like it might be a justice issue, but Jesus sees the heart. This isn't about the younger brother wanting to avoid a break in relationship with his brother. This is about coveting, and likely is after the brothers have already broken relationship over their father's estate. If that wasn't the case, there wouldn't be a reason to ask a legal expert to intervene. Jesus responds with a warning about not having enough, the fear of not having enough. Be on your guard against covetousness because you can never have enough. Even if he were to get his share of the inheritance from his brother, it wouldn't be enough because Jesus sees his covetous heart. And that's true for you and me as well. For most of us, we have a seed of fear that we won't have enough. We will outlive our resources. We will lose our house. We don't have enough time to get everything done. We imagine if we only had X amount of money, we would be able to get off the treadmill of worry and insecurity. But it largely isn't true. Once we have that X amount of money, we begin to question, is that enough? Perhaps I need a little bit more to be sure. It's unending. And while there's truth that a certain amount of money that allows us to cover our basic expenses is important for contentment, more money won't make us happier or more secure. Greed destroys us. Being generous is a blessing. In reality, we are all stewards of all that we have and are responsible to the Lord for what we do with what we have, from our possessions to our spiritual gifts to our time. Our goal should be to please the Lord with what we do with our resources, rather than trying to impress our neighbors or lining our bank accounts or keeping up with the Joneses. After pointing out the petitioner's covetousness, Jesus tells a parable. It's known as the parable of the rich fool. Now, Scripture does affirm the right to have private property in Acts 5. So this isn't about him having private property, like the rich fool had a lot. This is about someone who didn't recognize that he was accountable to God for his possessions and therefore was selfish with them. What the rich fool failed to remember is that surpluses don't belong to him, but he's to steward them with God's purposes. Jesus said the landowner is already rich, and then he has this bumper crop. Now, he didn't work harder to make a bountiful crop. It was a gift from the Lord. But that's not how the man thought of it. He didn't ask financial advice from his friends or family. He talked to himself about what he could do with his extra crops. And while that may not seem too strange to us, it was not normal in the Middle East at the time of Jesus. We don't routinely ask our friends how to spend our money. But there, it was normal for families, communities, villages who were tight-knit to be in everybody's business. Decisions were made after much discussion in a group. But the landowner here doesn't appear to have a family or friends. He's not part of a community that will hold him accountable. It's a good reminder for each of us to have trusted people in our lives around us to hold us accountable. The landowner doesn't consider the crops are not only a gift from the Lord, or that he's responsible to the Lord, but only that they are his. They're his crops, and he can do with them what he wants, because it's all about him. He decides to tear down his barns, build bigger ones to store all of his stuff. I'm reminded of this parable every time I drive by one of those multi-floor storage buildings. And while I know there are times where those are necessary, sometimes it's just extra stuff that people want to keep, even though they have no room. And they're willing to pay for more space to store stuff they probably don't need. Also, our landowner doesn't consider the employees who work the land or build the barns, or will have to tear down the barns and build bigger ones. He only thinks of himself. My crops, my barns, my grain, my goods, my soul. Again, it's not private property that's the problem, nor is it that God doesn't want us to save for the future. The landowner isn't foolish because he made provision for the future. It's because he believes he can secure his future with wealth. The problem is when we think only of ourselves, we miss what God would have us do for others. When we put our trust in what we can earn or save, we make decisions based on material investment rather than investing into the lives around us with the good gifts that the Lord has given us. Imagine what the rich landowner could have done with his bounty. He could have fed the hungry, housed the homeless, cared for the sick, and those in prison. He could have lifted up the poor. He could have done so much and still had more than he needed. I'm a hospice chaplain, and I've never met anybody at the end of life tell me that they regretted how much they had given away or how much they wish they had worked longer hours for more money. They regret not enough time spent with family and friends. They regret broken relationships and not spending time on the things that really matter. Mr. Landowner here seems to be inspired by a partial verse from Ecclesiastes. He says, "I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, and be merry." Ecclesiastes 8:15 says, "And I commend joy, for man has nothing better under the sun but to eat, drink, and be joyful. For this will go with him in his toils through the days of his life that God has given him under the sun." The difference is that the preacher in Ecclesiastes knows about the gift of God, the gift of life from God, even as he laments, always vanity and striving after the wind, and there was nothing to be gained under the sun. We read that in our Old Testament reading today. The rich fool only remembers the eating and drinking and being merry, but not the part about the days of his life being a gift from the Lord. But God does not let our foolish friend be merry with his abundance. He says, "Fool, this night your soul is required of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be?" In Greek, the phrase "is required of you" is banking language. It's a recall of a loan. One of the truths of Scripture we sometimes would rather not acknowledge is that life is not a right, but it's a gift on loan. None of us is promised a long life. Some of us live to be 80 or more, but the majority of the people in the world do not. As a culture, we are often separated from the acts of birth and death. Throughout history, those were traditionally done at home among family, and now they are frequently done in some kind of facility or hospital. When people lived in multi-generational homes where death and birth were a natural part of everyday life, it was easier to see that life is not guaranteed. Now, it was no less tragic to lose a child or a greatly loved grandparent, but it was easier to see, if you're in the room, that life is fragile and our lives are on gift on loan from the Lord. Remember, this parable is told as a part of an answer about dividing property. Do you hear in Jesus' word a lesson? Even if you get all that you think you deserve, what does that mean? Is your life guaranteed? Are your resources to do with what you want? Or are they actually the Lord's and are to be stewarded for God's purposes? Jesus ends with a reminder that if we lay up treasures for ourselves, we are not rich towards God, which should be the way we live. Hoarding treasure for ourselves comes from that fear and insecurity that we won't have enough. We worry about things that may not happen, and that worry takes away the freedom to enjoy today fully. Just after our parable, Jesus tells his disciples, "Do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, nor about your body, what you will put on. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. Which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? If then you are not able to do such a small thing as that, why are you anxious about the rest?" So why are we all so worried? Why is anxiety at an all-time high right now? Is it that we don't truly and fully trust the Lord? Is it that we live in a culture that prizes individual achievement and getting ahead is a national pastime? Perhaps living through a global pandemic, which still has not ended, has rocked our carefully constructed world in which we thought we were in control. We now realize it has always been an illusion. I think it's all of those things and more. We are not guaranteed anything, but the Lord has gifted most of us with some abundance. How do we steward it with God's purposes in mind? Where is he calling us to be generous? Where is he calling us to let go and not try to keep up with the neighbors? Where is he calling us to prize time over money? What worries, anxieties, and fears is God asking us to give to him? The answers will be different for everyone, but I know the principles will be the same. Take time to meditate on this parable and pray. Pray about what God would have you learn and do. Now, as we prepare for baptism today, I have some words for Eric. Eric, may your life in Christ be joyful and fruitful. May you remember that you were bought with a price, and each day is a gift from the Lord. We are very excited about welcoming you into the family. And for all of us who are baptized members of the family of God, remember this. We can trust the kingdom of God to show us God's values and priorities to overcome greed and anxiety of this world. So don't be anxious. Don't make it all about you and yours. Don't fear scarcity at the expense of generosity. Don't forget those who helped you have an abundance. Don't lose track of the truth that we don't know how many days under the sun the Lord has given us or has given our loved ones. Do be open-handed. Do ensure you are in accountability relationships. Do trust the Lord and allow Him to guide the use of your resources. I'm not going to tell you how to spend your money or how much to save or give away. I'm not going to tell you how, the best way to use your time or your talents either. That's between you and the Lord. Pray about it. What I want you to walk out of here today with is this, that the Lord loves each of us individually. He has given us good things, from material possessions to people around us, to spiritual gifts, to time, and to our very lives, but they are all gifts on loan. More money and things will not make us happier, but rather, the joy of the Lord is our strength. Everything we had belongs to the Lord. Let's steward it like we believe that. May the Lord guide us as we live as citizens of the heavenly kingdom, and may we be strengthened for witness and ministry while casting our fears, worries, and insecurities on the Lord. May we be generous with our riches and bless others as we have been blessed. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.